do we cultivate a thankful heart? It's a really good question. So listen to the wisdom Paul suggests to the gathered community in Philippi, reading from chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Spirit always. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see your forbearing spirit. Our Savior is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Instead, present needs to God through prayer and petition, giving thanks for all circumstances. Then, God's own peace, which is beyond all understanding, will stand guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We kicked off our November worship theme of staying grateful last week. We spent some time thinking about the great Thanksgiving and how that very simple meal of bread and cup works mysteriously and miraculously to connect us to each other and to God. We thought about together how big, how bold, how broad Christ's welcome is in all of our lives. It is so grand, in fact, that I think we're often kind of awed by it. So this week, instead of focusing on the great Thanksgiving, I thought we might contemplate the lesser Thanksgivings in our lives. That is, I thought we could use some time this morning to consider the tiny ways, the small graces in which God is blessing us. Maybe these lesser happenings aren't the well-established ones or captured through our ancient rituals of our faith. Maybe they aren't even all that obvious to us at first, even though we're experiencing them. But when, if looked at for a moment through the frame of gratitude, these tiny, almost imperceptible moments or exchanges or circumstances can turn into a blessing. While they may not be grand in scope, these small moments are no less wonderful or miraculous or even mysterious. They connect us to the divine. And if cultivated and captured, they can sustain our very souls. Thinker and scholar Virginia Stem Owens has written and lectured about the intersections of science, consciousness, and theology. And right in the center, the heart of her findings, is gratitude. She writes this: "For if you go poking about in the world intent on keeping the candle of consciousness blazing, you must be ready to give thanks at all times. Discrimination is not allowed. Thanksgiving is not a task to be undertaken lightly. It's not for dilettantes. One does not dabble in praise for one's own amusement, nor train the intellect and develop perceptual skills to add to a repertoire." She writes, "We're not talking about the world as a free course in art appreciation." No, I love that. She writes, "Thanksgiving is not a result of perception. Thanksgiving is the access to perception." 2 years ago, our own Jim Melchiori, who is traveling today, was battling cancer, and it was putting up a good fight. One night during his chemo treatments, he got up from bed in the middle of the night, and he seemed to lose consciousness momentarily, and he fell. Now, something was wrong, we knew that, but we didn't know what it was at the time. Jim was taken to the ER with severe cuts on his face and bruising from not being able to break his fall with his hands. Now, I made my way to find him in the ER, which, as you know, is difficult to do in these city establishments. When I found him, my heart just sank. He was bruised and he was bloody and he had stitches going across his face. And I sat on the side of his cot while he told me kind of what happened. Now, we talked about how he was feeling and all of that normal stuff. But then I asked him, how are you really? How's your spirit inside all of this? Truth be told, mine was really wobbly. I was scared. I was scared for him. I was scared with what was happening, with all the unknowns. And we both were crying. So we held on to each other's hands, and we had a lot of questions between us. And I asked Jim, would you like to pray? Yeah, he said. Okay, well, I asked, what should we pray for? I asked him. There was kind of a full beat of silence. And then Jim said, let's start with gratitude. Now, friends, I'm not sure that I have ever in my life felt a more clear presence of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't construct a more difficult moment than this. We were in a hallway of a crazed New York City emergency room, not even inside a proper room or behind a curtain. You can understand what this is like, shoved up against some space where people were going to and fro. Jim was hurt and hurting. Something wasn't working with these treatments. Real and appropriate fear, anxiety, and confusion were just as present as I was or he was. And still, Jim could find something to be thankful for. And more, he attributed those things to God's provision, to God's care. We could even then, even there, be thankful to God. We were thankful for breath, for hands to hold, for questions to ask and for people to ask them with, for people who share in our fear and help us move through it without promises or empty assurances that it would be fixed or that it would go away. This wasn't some easy practice of counting your blessings in order to get a better night's rest. And it wasn't some cheap ploy or a trick, right, to turn your outlook from pessimism to optimism. This was deep spiritual work. Jim led us there. We prayed and we praised God and we gave thanks. And the chaos somehow calmed a bit, and our perspectives shifted. Now, I can attest to the fact that I realized in that moment we weren't alone. God was in that cramped and chaotic ER hallway, too. The words of Paul came to my mind and made sense, honestly, for the first time in my life. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I had never, until that second, understood the connection between pleading to God and praising God. I thought you kind of did those things different ways, different times. But Paul clearly joins them, asking God for help, with offering God thanks and praise. Still, it took that experience with Jim for me to see their connection. In a desperate time, we were called, we needed to do both. And now I see those pathways to God's love and grace and assurance as not separate routes. Both connect us to our sustainer and redeemer, to our source, and they move us towards oneness with God. Now that closeness is worthy of great praise, even when it happens through very small moments and in very tiny ways. So today we're gonna pause and we're gonna do some training of our spirits because we need some praise practice, after all, in order to cultivate a posture of gratitude and to develop a thankful heart, one that knows and revels in the closeness of God.